It's business time. So Kevin Suarez is speaking with Jayant Menon, lead economist with the Asian Development Bank, about the ongoing digital revolution for business and how businesses can adapt. He asked Mr. Menon how this revolution started.
So the digital revolution, the fourth industrial revolution, is a continuation of the first three. In fact, if you go back to the very start when Homo erectus carved a piece of stone into a tool, that technological breakthrough led to every other development we've seen, right from the hand axe to the iPhone today. So it's a continuous process, and the latest digital revolution is one that builds on the internet and various other new technologies such as artificial intelligence, robotics, blockchain, 3D printing, and the like. And it's cumulative, and it's also now exponential. So unlike the last third revolution, this one is growing at an exponential pace and is changing almost everything that we do.
And what can we see possibly coming up being improved or being bettered during this fourth industrial revolution?
Well, the fourth industrial revolution should make life easier for most people. It should allow us to do things much more cheaply, efficiently, and effectively. But it also carries some risks, and this is a concern relating to huge job losses that might occur with extensive automation, with robotics and artificial intelligence taking over not just low-skilled jobs, but also the more sophisticated or higher-skilled jobs going forward.
And how can businesses try to adapt to some of these challenges that we will see during this fourth industrial revolution?
I think getting prepared for this sooner rather than later is the first important thing that businesses need to do. And they need to prepare basically by embracing it and not being fearful of it. They should look at ways in which they can actually adopt these technologies to reduce costs, but also they need to look at ways in which they can invest in retraining their workers and re-equipping their workforce to be able to take advantage of the changes taking place. So there's no underplaying the importance of reskilling in the preparation for the fourth industrial revolution. And we also need to change the way in which we think about reskilling. Instead of just adopting new skills, the challenge is to equip workers with skills so that they can learn how to keep learning. This is a dynamic process. It'll keep changing. So it's not replacing one set of skills with a new set of skills, but replacing existing skills with the ability to keep adapting and adapting over time.
When it comes to change, sometimes some people and some organizations find it a little bit difficult to adapt. Do you think that it is realistic that businesses will be on board with making changes to their strategies and to their ways that they conduct business?
I think you're right. We have a natural tendency to resist change, but we have no choice in this case. We've already seen the early impacts of how things like robotics completely transforming the way business is done. And so it's either get on board or face much more severe consequences. The fourth industrial revolution is already here. It's already impacting our lives in so many different ways, the way we interact with each other, economic systems, political systems. There's no denying that it is going to continue to grow in terms of its influence on our everyday work and leisure lives. And so businesses must accept that and must start making changes to try and ensure that they take advantage and rather be victims of these sorts of technological changes.
Looking at a larger scale, can this change relationships between nations in the Southeast Asia region?
I think it certainly will. What I think we'll find in Southeast Asia is that there'll be countries that win and countries that lose. The ones that are best prepared and the much more developed ones will be the ones that win. The poorer, less prepared countries will struggle. So Singapore will be a clear winner in ASEAN. Cambodia, Laos, Myanmar will struggle. And this will increase inequalities between countries to some extent, and also within countries. But we have to recognize that these are risks and start preparing to try and address them. So Cambodia, Laos, and Myanmar do not have to be left behind. If they can import, let's say, capital and labor skills to try and catch up, as well as remain open to foreign investment. In the same way that Singapore, for instance, will need to actually look at ways in which it can maximize its benefits by being open to inflows of labor as well, as it has an aging society.
Where do you think Australia will fall into this?
So I think Australia can play quite a big role in terms of helping the developing countries of ASEAN better prepare their workforce to take advantage of the fourth industrial revolution. Australia is a great exporter of education services and has a great reputation in this region for high quality education services. So there's a lot of training programs that can be tailored for the needs of these countries to deal with these challenges. Also, I think Australia can itself learn from the experiences of these countries as they adjust to the challenges of the fourth industrial revolution and prepare itself to take advantage of the opportunities in the process.
Jayant Menon, lead economist from the Asian Development Bank, speaking there with Kevin Suarez.